Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Idiot! I'm sitting on a gold mine!
Don't make me smack you, sweetheart. I'll do it.
Taking paws off me, you damn dirty ape! This town needs an enema!
It is most non-heinous.
So what the hell are we doing today? Well, it's Nick Stevens from Comic-Cons, that geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the rest of us? My friend today joining me is Super Dave from Virginia, right?
More specifically, Super Dave's VA podcast.
Super Dave's VA podcast. Yeah. God, see, now I'm like one of those hosts from those TV shows that like hasn't like watched the show. And he's like, you're from, from American show. You'll do the thing with Johnny Blue Jeans, you know what I'm saying? And you're like, no, it's actually not that at all. It's just this thing where we exchange vowels or something.
Circle of fortune.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Circle of fortune. Well, welcome.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
We're doing a share cast, guys, so it's a little awkward here in the beginning because we're like, what do we do? How do we introduce the episode? You know, it's not really a Comic-Cons episode, but it's going to be. But it's also going to be a Super Dave's VA podcast.
Yeah, you and I, we kind of do... I wouldn't say completely different things because you take a lot of local people and talk to them about, you know, you have a lot of local guests and everything. I have a lot of local guests.
Right.
But our planes of topics are completely different. I do a lot of music. Lately, I've been doing a lot of music.
Yeah.
A lot of bands and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I listen to a couple of your shows, specifically one of the episodes where you were interviewing two guys who had started like an outdoor adventure.
Right.
And they were telling stories about, you know, whitewater rafting and shit. And so it was actually a really cool interview. And you were like talking to legitimate business owners, guys who were like doing something with their lives, people that you may or may not have a close friendship with. But I usually just have friends over in the garage and we talk about fucking Captain America's dick size or fucking, you know, does She-Hulk ever wear a strap on, you know, and it gets just off the rails. And then at some point we rate a movie. But it's just guys in their 30s talking about stuff that really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you actually talk to real people with real business.
A little bit of backstory. For people who haven't listened to the podcast, my podcast specifically, I interviewed a couple guys. They're actually really good friends of mine. They have kind of an outdoor social media thing going on. And they actually have a couple legitimate business plans going.
Well, that's awesome.
And I try to make it sound like I wasn't friends with them.
That's what it was then.
Because they mentioned Everest at one point, and I was like, oh, well, it really sounds like you guys are really serious about Everest. When I'd already known everything about it.
Right. It was very professional, though.
Right. You
know? So it was very NPR-ish. That's what the first thing that struck me was your podcast was very NPR-ish, like very educational, you know?
Thanks, man.
And I know you started talking to more bands recently. How did you get into the podcasting?
I was listening to a podcast, actually.
Oh, yeah?
I was listening to Joe Rogan's podcast.
That's what happened to me. Not Joe Rogan, but podcasting listening. Okay.
And he said that anybody can get into podcasting if they have interesting people to talk to.
Yeah. And that kind of helps, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just, I think I was driving home, and I just started thinking about all the people I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that person's done really cool things.
Yeah.
That person's done really cool things.
Yeah.
And then... I sat on it for a while because I have this kind of personality where I throw myself into stuff like mentally and I tell everybody I'm going to do it and I never do it.
Yeah.
So I sat on it for like a month and then I finally just went balls deep in it.
I'm just going to go.
I started, before I even had recording equipment, I started making contacts with people.
That's good.
And then, you know, contacted some people, did my first one with the vapor store guys. Been going a little slow right now because I'm unorganized.
That's okay.
And I'll make a contact with somebody.
Yeah.
And then I forget to follow up.
Well, full disclaimer for the kids listening at home, like, what is going on? We tried to get this off the ground, I think, a week or two ago, but there was a horrendous storm. There was, like, the land of Mordor had opened up, and Sauron's eye or anus had opened up, and that's just the land was just flooded. I mean, it was, like, torrential downpour. I lost power for, like, 3 or 4 hours. I didn't have your phone number, so I couldn't even tell you to, like, reschedule. We were, like, Facebook messaging, you know?
Yeah.
My wife was like, who is a stranger that's going to come over to the garage and hack you up into a million pieces? Like, no, he looks legitimate. He's married. I mean, I feel like if you're married, you can't be a serial killer. And I also, that's why I kind of went in with the hug when I first met you. I kind of, well, you know,
you're not going to kill me if you hug me. You can be a serial killer and be married. A lot of serial killers were married. Oh, but I get your point.
Well, you looked very nice with your wife in the Facebook profile
picture.
Right. You didn't look like a serial killer, I guess.
Right.
I know looks can be deceiving.
Yeah.
And plus the hug. I mean, if I hugged you goodbye, even though I didn't know you as a stranger, you're less likely to kill me because I gave you a hug. You know, so it's like, well...
Or
you know.
I could have like some weird boundary issue, and that could trigger me.
Yeah,
killing you.
That's true.
You're rolling the dice.
Yeah, I was rolling the dice on that one. I'm just glad we could get this together.
I know. I was looking forward to it. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are podcasts about? I mean, share casting. Why the hell not? You know, we're just gonna do this as one episode. You were kind of telling me a little bit of the origin of your podcast. Mine was kind of the same way. I always kind of wanted to do one. I would get drunk and be like, I'm going to do one. And then it would just not happen.
Right.
And then I stopped drinking. And then at one point I was talking to another guy. He was a comedian from New York, but we were working together. And he was like, let's just do it. Hey, come here. Sometimes the dog goes off the reservation. You got to, you know, get her back on. And I decided, fuck it, let's just do it. And it kind of started off as I listened to a lot of podcasts, specifically a lot of podcasts about comic books and movies. And these things were always taking shit way seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like way too seriously. Like they would talk about a film, they would dissect it, pull it apart, you know, to the point of like exhaustion. You know what I mean? And I was like, I want to do a podcast that talks about comic books that acknowledges the fact that we're talking about superheroes, you know, superpowers,
right.
People running around in costumes. Like it's not that serious. You
it's
know what I'm saying?
It's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon, you know, so let's have fun with it, you know? And, you know, people like Kevin Smith, you know, have always been kind of like idols to me and I've listened to his stuff and followed him
closely.
He's a
real down-to-earth guy, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And I was trying to emulate some of that down-to-earthness in this show. Of course, it started off with me and another guy hosting it. And over the course of time, it's been broken down into a more relaxed stage where I'm just kind of inviting friends over to the garage. So this is actually the first time I've actually had somebody on the podcast that I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? So this is this is like a monumental occasion.
Because I could either be a comic book snob.
Sure.
Or I could know nothing.
Right.
So I like to think of myself as somebody who's kind of in the middle.
I like it.
Oh well, I'm more a movie snob.
Okay.
Like
okay.
I'm not really into the whole comic book thing.
That's
like,
okay.
Like even comic book movies.
Yeah.
I don't really watch them. You know. I'm not really into them. But I like movies that not a whole lot of people like.
Right.
Like, I haven't seen any of the new Star Wars.
Okay.
You've seen
the originals.
I've seen the originals and, what is it, Phantom Menace?
The prequels.
Attack of the Clones. What was that one?
The 90, yeah.
I've seen those. I haven't seen any of the new ones.
Okay.
But
there's
some
good ones.
Right.
They're, you know.
But I like movies that I like.
Okay.
Like,
And you're unapologetic about it, right?
Oh yeah, I'm kind of a snob in that
like
way.
Like somebody could be like Groundhog Day, and you're like, I fucking love that movie.
I do love that movie.
Oh, well, there you go. Really wow, I just guessed.
Really,
shot in the
do
dark.
That movie. That's a great movie. I was actually watching a YouTube analysis of that movie of how long he was actually in the time loop.
Oh wow!
And it was actually they estimated that of all the skills he acquired
mm-hmm.
while he was in the time loop, it had to have been like 60 years.
60 years.
60 years.
I was not expecting that number. That is strikingly depressing. It was something
along those lines, like 30.
Wow.
It was. This is kind of a broad
number,
but
that's
it was
very
like
interesting. Though
30 to 60 years.
Wow.
So, but I mean,
that is a great movie, though. So when you say movie snob, I guess what got you into movies, or was it kind of just how you grew up?
So I started I watched a lot of the movies that I wasn't allowed to watch movies.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch. I think the only R-rated movie I was allowed to watch when I was a kid was The Patriot.
Oh, wow.
And it was because I got 100% on a history test. So
here's
like,
a history lesson.
I feel like I've always had to been choosy about movies that I've watched. So, and especially like lately, as I've gotten older, if a movie doesn't really capture my attention within the first like...
5-10 minutes.
5-10 minutes, I'm done.
Okay.
And then also, I really overanalyze them. Like a lot of times I'll watch a movie and then like days later I'll think of the movie and be like, that was stupid.
Yeah.
Like I'll be enjoying it. I'll be like, what that character did was so dumb, and it'll bother me.
So you'll retrospectively just hate a movie. You might have an initial good reaction.
It's more like scenes.
Okay.
I'll be like, oh, that scene was so stupid. You know? And I kind of like dislike myself for it, but also like,
are you more for like the story or just the look or kind of both? Like, I mean,
okay, let's say I really like Quentin Tarantino movies.
Absolutely.
Love that kind of, sure. I love that kind of like, it's not all about the fluff, it's more, a lot of story. I don't mind a lot of dialogue.
It's a lot about the tone also though. I feel like his films, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, if you look at the tone of Kill Bill, it's, you know, spaghetti western. So
the first, those got better as
Kung
got
Fu,
older.
You know, and it's all of that stuff infused into that with some of that 70s flair, you know what I'm saying? 70s movie making flair. Which he loved.
I love that. I love that tone.
Like, I got the soundtracks too, man. I fucking love those soundtracks. I love those movies.
Like just that.
Yeah.
Like when she sees somebody that was from her past, and then that music happens.
Right. And the camera cuts to like red or black and white.
And it's like, it just that the cinematography of it is just so like, instead of a movie where it's like, ba-na, you know,
that's
but it's
interesting.
Like,
yeah. Pulp Fiction is probably one of the first movies I saw where, and a friend of mine was talking about this too a little while back, where that was like, where I realized, okay, this is like a film. And there's certain things that are being done in here with this film on purpose, like, you know, the scenes being shot out of order to tell the story, you know. But before that, I was just growing up on movies like RoboCop and The Predator and, you know, Terminator 2. And like, so all of that stuff is really what got me into movies. So it's a very different kind of, I learned really quick, like, not to take things seriously, because I grew up on movies from the 80s and 90s, which were all about the excess and just, you know, fuck you and explosions and lasers and... But also at the same time could tell a story that was unnerving and not popular and very controversial. You know what I'm saying? Like Peter Weller getting blasted away in the first 10 minutes of RoboCop. You know what I'm saying? The main character, and there's blood everywhere. And you're like, and I'm like 7 watching this rated R movie.
I saw that when I was young too.
Yeah.
The one scene I remember for that movie, I saw it on TV.
Yeah.
I saw it on TV at like 1 in the afternoon.
That's amazing.
When the guy gets hit by the car when he's all mutated.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that on TV on AMC.
Help me.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah. Practical effects, man.
Right.
They don't make them like that anymore.
I know. That's a good scene.
Other than RoboCop, can you think of a comic book movie that you did see that you were like, you know, I did like that?
Comic book in what definition?
I guess anything based on a comic book.
Okay, so we gotta backtrack a little bit. Okay, so the one comic book that I've ever read, like actual physical book, is The Death of Superman.
Oh wow, okay. Wow, so, I just did a Superman episode.
And it's the it's that thick one.
Yeah.
Where Doomsday, you know, he comes out and
1993, I think.
I don't know where we got it, I don't know where we had it. It was sitting in we used to live in Chesapeake.
Okay.
And I had it. I don't know where we got it, but I read it.
Right.
And you know, it was that. Are you familiar with that issue? Like, it's the big book, and Supergirl gets her face.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was a three-part story arc where it's he gets killed by Doomsday, then the reign of the Superman come out, and like there's all these different Supermen that come out trying to pose as Superman, you know, and it was a huge deal. I mean, I was talking about this on the episode, like that was on the cover of Time magazine when they killed him off in 1993 because it was such a huge deal. Nobody had done that before.
I think I had the first one where Doomsday like comes out.
Okay.
And he kills Superman.
Yeah,
and I didn't have any more.
Okay.
And then I just read I read that over and over and over again because it was just so, it was graphic too. Yeah. It was really graphic. I mean, I remember when what's the guy who drives, he's the Beetle,
Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle gets his shit pushed in.
Yeah.
Supergirl gets her face like melted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one scene where I used to play that scene with my toys when I was a kid, where Blue Beetle gets pushed into all the pipes and everything. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
Oh my gosh! He tries to fight Doomsday. Doomsday grabs him by the back of the head, and in three panels,
yeah,
shoves his face into like pillars, buildings, and a
okay,
gas pipe.
I think I do vaguely remember that. It's been a long time since I read that.
Right. I mean, but I remember those scenes, and I just remember how violent it was, and it was like captivating though.
It stayed with you.
Yeah. So to fast forward, comic book movies.
You never saw any of the Superman movies then? You didn't have a drive to or anything like that?
No. Yeah. I like The Watchmen.
Yeah, okay.
Watchmen was really good. I like Dark.
Yeah.
Really Dark.
Okay.
So
Batman.
Oh, yeah, I like Batman.
Like the Dark Knight movies, the Christopher Nolan movies.
Love those.
Yeah.
I fell asleep to the Joker movie the other day.
Okay.
Dark Knight Rises.
This is the Dark Knight, yeah.
Yeah. Fell asleep to that one the other day.
That's funny you mentioned that earlier about being kind of a film snob and then talking about those, because I've always said, even on this podcast, that I think those movies are films in their own world. Like, I don't even though they're based on a comic book character, I don't consider them comic book movies.
They're
actual films that need to be locked away and like studied for the rest of
history. No, that's exactly what I was about to say. Like, you watch them and then you forget.
Yeah,
they're based on comic books.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, just
it's visceral. It's so real.
And it's also the acting performances.
Absolutely.
I mean, Heath Ledger was like, I mean, rest in peace. I mean, he did such a great job.
He did.
You when you watch that character, you forget.
Yeah.
Who he is.
Yeah.
It's so good. What other movies did I watch? I'm trying to think. Watchmen was really good because it was so bleak. I mean, just the bomb goes on. Are we worried about spoilers on this podcast?
No, like, no. We spoil the fuck out of everything. Especially, I mean, look, guys, kids, these movies came out a few years ago.
Right,
so
right.
You haven't seen them yet.
Because there was a couple movies I wanted to talk about coming up here. And I was like, well, I want to talk about it. And there were some really cool scenes, but I don't want to ruin the ending.
No, okay, no, go for it.
Cool.
Go for it.
Cool. And they're all old anyways. I can't really think of any others, though, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But
The Watchmen, I mean, I love The Watchmen. There were a lot of fanboys at the time. We did a Watchmen episode, and it was quasi-controversial because we posted it on Facebook. Before we posted it, we posted that we were going to do it. And there were a lot of people that were like, oh, that movie was shit, you know, and it wasn't anything really compared to the graphic novel, you know, and all these fanboys coming out because there were some changes. And I talk about that a lot in the show. Like, one of the things that I never really ever expect is a page-by-page, you know, word for word adaptation on these things. You know, first of all, it says based on the comic. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't say a verbatim word for word interpretation of the work. You know what I mean? So I don't really get hung up on, oh, the color of this costume is actually purple and not, you know what I mean? I'm not one of those.
And there's also, I mean, this is a good segue into, I actually know there is a comic book movie I've seen. This is a good segue. There's this movie called Harakiri. No,
okay.
I'm sorry. No. Ichi the Killer. Sorry.
Ichi the Killer.
Different.
Japanese?
Yes.
Okay.
Ichi the Killer. And
the blonde dude with the scars on his face?
Yes.
On the cover?
Okay. He has the same scars as Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
but they're
okay.
open, and he like, breathes smoke through them and stuff.
It's based on manga?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I watched Ichi the Killer just because of the infamy surrounding the movie, because it's super violent, mm-hmm. super gory. The guy, I mean, literally gore flying through a door.
Wow.
Because the guys are being cut up and mangled by the main character. He has like blades in his boots.
I've never seen it.
Oh my God, that's so good.
It was one of those movies I'd see like in the Blockbuster. Now I'm dating myself.
It's like 2001.
Yeah.
Dude, it's a roller coaster.
Okay.
And it's weird.
Yeah.
It's a weird movie.
Huh, I've never seen it. That's weird. Japanese movies aren't normally that weird. You know what I'm saying? Huh? What? Anybody?
Oh, I sent your sarcasm finally, because I was about to be like, But yeah, no, it's trippy, it's weird. But then I read some of the manga, and I was like, holy shit, they weren't even scratching the surface.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when people complain about it not being true to the comic book.
Yeah.
There's only so much they can put in.
Right.
Because when, okay, let's say like, when you're reading words on a paper, mm-hmm. I can say X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And it's all in your head, right?
Right.
But when you put it on a screen, it's there, you see it.
Right.
So there's only so much you can do visually when you can put it on a paper. So,
well, I also think like, and just going back to the Watchmen thing real quick, and I've talked about this before, but you know, it was a bomb, like you said, at the end of the movie. But in the comic, it was this giant fucking like octopus creature. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, would that have been crazy to see on the big screen? Absolutely. But did it really work for the world that they were kind of building in that cinematic universe? Not really, because the world they were building was kind of more realistic and more grounded in reality. And even though you had a blue guy walking around and, you know, on planets.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, there was a tangibility to it that I think would have been kind of, and I get tired of the superhero movie context where there's just some big, super giant monstrous creature at the end of every single one of these things, or some floating thing in the sky, and we gotta shut it down, come on, you know what I'm saying? And like,
we have to work together to kill
it. Right, we can't cross the streams, you know, and are you a god, and Zool, you know what I'm saying? Like all this stuff, it's like, well, come on, let's just have a guy show up and then he fucks shit up, or let's just have a bomb. Like, I mean, a bomb is terrifying. Right. So I kind of respect when they change it a little bit. It's kind of like The Walking Dead. Like, if you watch that at all, like,
no,
they
changed that drastically. That show's shit, dude.
It's so bad.
Oh, my God. Oh, thank you.
I stopped watching it. I actually stuck with it for a long time, you know, because when it first started, I was like, wow, this could be really good. You know, Frank Darabont was directing it, and he gave us, you know, Shawshank Redemption. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he left the show pretty early, and there was some controversy around that. But I stayed with it, and I liked the acting, I liked the storytelling, I liked the premise. I read the comic about a few volumes in, but that show, it is what it is. It's a soap opera, but after a while, it's just like, no. Like, I stopped caring. There were whole episodes where, like, nothing would happen, you know what I'm saying? There was just, they kept throwing
all bitch about our feelings a little bit and then kill some zombies.
Yeah, like remember, you know. Guys, it is the end of the world, you know? Like,
we
can do this later.
Let's not worry about food and shelter. Let's complain about how our feelings toward each other. And you know,
and everybody had designer clothing. Everybody,
right.
Everybody looks great. You're like, no, you'd be wearing like cargo shorts and like a Hawaiian shirt with like Timberlands. You know what I'm saying? Whatever fit. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you had left. You know.
But they all had a holster for their gun.
They all did.
Why?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You were able to find a holster for their gun?
Apparently. But no water.
Oh, God. No, yeah.
But anyway, differences.
We could spend an hour on that
show. We probably could.
We could.
So you never even gave it a shot, or you did, and you were like, fuck this.
I did. I watched about 3 or 4 seasons.
Okay, so you were like me then. I was about 4 or 5. I quit around the 5th season.
Yeah.
Right after Negan showed up is when I was like, nah.
I stopped watching before that, but I tuned in for the infamous Glenn killing episode.
Yeah, man.
That was pretty brutal. And to my knowledge, Glenn was killed off, quote unquote, killed off.
Right.
And then brought back, you know, like there was this chain of events that were like, oh, Glenn's not dead.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So, and apparently that's like, this is coming from YouTube videos I watch and everything like that, because I can't form my own opinions, because I go to YouTube to form my own opinions from there. So that's like a betrayal of the fans.
Yeah.
Like, because you've basically killed him off and brought him back before.
Right.
And now you've actually killed him off.
Right.
So it's like, why did you do it in the first place?
Anyways. It's almost like they just have a dartboard and they're just kind of throwing it at the ideas.
Well, the ratings are low, so let's kill somebody.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I just gave up on that. But I mean, people love it, you know?
People
are frothing at the mouths over, like, you know, the main guy leaving, and it's like, give a fuck.
Good. Fuck Andrew Lincoln.
Can you blame that guy?
Dude,
though?
That guy sucks.
9 years? I'd be gone too.
God, that character sucks, dude. Rick is an awful character.
I liked it in the beginning.
No, he was never a good character.
I mean, when he wakes up in that hospital.
Okay, all right. Backtrack a little bit.
You know,
he was good
when he goes nuts in the prison. That's kind of a little weird.
He was good in the first season. Yeah. The first season was really good. I don't know, actually.
I mean, the whole premise of a zombie thing, right? Even outside of Walking Dead, isn't the scariest thing not even the zombies, but what humanity could do? You know what I'm saying? At the end of the world, like, I mean, isn't that almost more scarier than like the actual zombies in a way? Like, holy shit, we lose power And these neighbors I've known for years, they get a little hungry now.
Right.
And now, like, now that there's no law and order, it's like, that, what's separating just the neighbor down the street from coming in?
Dude, I think about that all the time. I stockpile now.
It's crazy. You know,
I've been building a rifle.
Holy
just for
shit.
The, just for the end of the world. I'm not even, for those listening, I'm not even joking right now. Like, I'm building a rifle for this sole purpose of end of the world.
Wow.
Like, I'm looking up stuff, man.
So why build it then instead of just having one? You're building it so that it'll be more sustainable or last or
because I'm poor.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I need,
okay.
I need to build it piece by piece.
All right. I wasn't sure because I don't know that much about guns. So I wasn't sure if you were building it so that it would be more, I don't know, purposeful or last longer.
Well, there's that too. Yeah. You know. But like I am really paranoid.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm kind of a paranoid person. Cause, I mean, even last night there was something snapped in our living room.
Yeah.
And I like walked around. I walked the front door. Because, you know, something snapped in the living room, so you lock the front door.
Of course, yeah.
And I was
to
like,
keep the person in.
Right, yeah, right. And then, so this is my mindset.
Yeah.
They did something inside because they're already inside.
Yeah.
So I need to check everywhere. They're probably in the garage.
Yeah.
So I need to go check in the garage.
Yeah.
But I didn't because I kind of like brought myself back.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you know, you let your mind, you let your imagination wander. You're like wandering around the house,
dude,
with a gun and a flashlight.
That happens to me all the time. Do you ever like play scenes, whole scenes out in your head, like a movie?
Yes.
And then you have to like snap back to it and like, wait, yes. I'm still here in my car. I just envisioned bludgeoning that guy's skull in. But I have to remind myself that it's not the end of the world. I'm okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like
yeah.
stopping like a, like, I mean, the world's crazy, you know, mass shootings, terrorist attacks, you know what I'm saying? And I'll just be thinking like, I'll just look at somebody like driving by and like, that guy's driven by the same block three times now. Like, what's he doing? What if he's going to try to break in? And he's not, maybe he's delivering the paper. Maybe he's lost. Maybe, you know, maybe he is stalking somebody in the neighborhood. Who knows? Yeah. But I mean, I just go there and I have to like snap out of him like, whoa, Nick. It's okay.
Dude, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Like, there was one time I walked outside of my house and this car was in the driveway. And it kind of like, I wouldn't say it sped off, but it like, it seemed that when the guy saw me, he like drove off.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, they're casing the place.
They're coming in.
Started loading buckshot in that shotgun. Man.
Oh, man.
Remington 870.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe it's just because we watch too many movies.
Probably
could accuse us of that. But
I know.
But I like to think that the people that watch that too many movies will actually be more prepared for those kind of instances. Because
no, they won't.
No?
No, because they think they'll survive.
Oh, you just shot me down. Man, I for the longest time, I was like, well, actually, I'll be more prepared because I have actually seen a lot of things where like I'll be able to react in time, you know?
Why do you think people love zombie movies? Okay.
Like the guy that trips in the woods, for Christ's sake. Come on.
Yeah,
you and I are not going to trip in the woods because we've seen a lot of movies where the guy's a trip. So we're going to know to look down and, you know, kind of be aware more. No?
Well,
not so much.
I always like to think that I always love people who are like, I wish a zombie apocalypse would happen. That would be so much fun.
No, it would not
like,
be fun.
I would do whatever I wanted and blah, blah.
No,
you would die.
You would die.
Everybody you
water.
Everybody you love would die.
I lost power for like 5 hours and I was crying. Yeah. I saw you out here and I was like, hey man, can't do it today because I don't have power, which means we can't do anything. Now, you can. You can read a book. You can.
Yeah, that is a scary thought.
You know?
How reliant we are.
Yeah, I mean, you forget how much you need electricity to do so many things nowadays.
Right.
I had a gallon or two of water in here, so I would have been able to last a couple days. But
people don't prepare.
No.
You know,
do you have a go bag too? Like a go bag in case something goes wrong?
That's something. Okay, so there's two sides to that. So a go bag is good if you need to get out, right?
But right.
In most situations, you need a shelter in place.
Hmm.
So. Like why would you need to go? Like I feel like a go bag would be good in like LA.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like where there's like 4 million people in 4 miles.
Right.
In four square miles. I feel like a go bag would be good in that situation.
I just think of like our proximity to maybe targets of, you know, I mean, because you and I, we're in Virginia, which is right next to the nation's
DC
capital.
And stuff like that.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's why I went there with that thought. But you're right. I mean, a shelter in place probably is more like a shelter, like a bomber shelter, like a.
I mean, I think you'd be fine if like. So my first.
This is very fascinating, by the way. So that's why I'm that's why I'm going down this lane. You know,
I think about this a lot. think about it. I don't act on it, but I think about it. So the first thing you need to do, if there's like I feel like you'd have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, like warning signs and air raid,
sure,
sirens and
sure.
stuff. So the first thing you need to do is fill up your bathtub. Why?
Why is that?
Water.
Okay.
You plug your bathtub, you fill it up.
Wow.
Because that water is going to be turned off at some point.
Yeah.
So you fill up your bathtub. Even if you have stockpiles of water, you fill up your bathtub. That's one thing you do.
I never even thought about that. That's brilliant.
Yeah. That's one of the main things I would do.
Yeah.
Have you seen The Road?
Yeah.
You saw in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Starts filling up the bathtub.
That's why I did it.
Yeah. I didn't get that from that movie.
That's a dark, dark movie.
It is.
I heard
the
book's even darker.
Right. What's his name? It was Charles McCormick. Charles McCormick. I need to read some of his books.
Yeah, I heard they're just bleak.
No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, man. That's another great movie.
So good. Anyways.
Yes.
You got me
the bathtub.
You got me on a roll right now. So right now, I feel like I think we'd be good.
Yeah.
Also, you would probably be good going to a grocery store because people don't know what to buy.
Hmm.
Because this is based on personal experience. Sorry. We had a snowstorm. I went to Walmart to buy, probably booze. Because we were going to be snowed in for like 3 days.
Yeah.
So I was going to buy like beer or something. All the bread was gone.
Wow.
One of the most perishable items.
Yeah.
You could possibly think of, all the bread was gone.
They didn't even get like a French roll, which would clearly last longer than
right?
a loaf
like
of bread.
All the Wonder Bread was gone.
Wow.
Literally, all the bread was gone.
And the milk too, I bet, right?
Yeah, all the milk was gone.
They always buy the milk. I noticed that too. They buy the milk and it's like, guys, if that power goes out, that milk is...
I would gladly take a can of Vienna sausages over a loaf of bread.
There you go. So, like dried meats, like salami would probably last longer.
Yeah, I mean, you can go and get like Dintymore beef stew that'll last you till 2059.
Right.
So, I mean.
So, non-perishables.
Non-perishables. Canned tuna.
Right.
I mean, things like that. I mean, I feel like people don't know how to properly prepare.
Right. So, no sugar-free ice cream.
No. I was trying to make a joke. That's what I was thinking. But
wow. So anything else?
Guns?
Guns.
Mm.
I thought about getting a gun.
Well, the wife's
not
right.
Not ready for that yet.
Well, the thing is,
getting a little bit of kickback on that. And it's really just for home protection. I don't have like
right.
a streak in me or anything.
But the
like
thing
that.
Is, I was thinking about this the other day. Where we live... In kind of in this like, I wouldn't say rural area.
It's quasi-rural. There's some
rural.
Yeah. It's
okay,
weird.
So if I'm a bad guy and I don't have a gun, am I really going to break into anybody's house around here?
No.
Right. Because everybody has a freaking gun.
Right.
So I feel like in this area, like stockpiling guns and ammo isn't a big deal.
And it might be a deterrent even if you do have a gun because other people have guns. I mean, that could work either way.
Because it's like the nuclear policy.
Right.
It's like, why am I going to go over there where I'm going to get shot?
Right.
Because I need stuff. It's more of like a, I know you can do damage to me. Let's like barter stuff.
Right, right.
So I was thinking about that the other day. I don't think guns and ammo is that big of a deal where we live. Maybe in like other areas where it's like not that accessible. Yeah.
I love any movie about the apocalypse or the world ending.
So
I've always loved post-apocalyptic movies, and you're going to laugh when I give you my first post-apocalyptic movie, but it was really just the Mad Max trilogy. The old Mad Max trilogy with Mel Gibson, directed by George Miller. Years later, they would do Fury Road with Tom Hardy, which was amazing, but just that, even though that was very sensationalist and super, like, you know, glam rock, 80'd out, you know what I'm saying? But just...
Yeah.
But there was still... People were bartering... People needed water that was not radiated. You know what I'm saying? I also kind of liked how they never quite said it was a bomb. They just kind of hinted at it that something horrific had happened. They never quite, they didn't hold your hand in all the exposition saying, the year was 1990, you know what I'm saying? But they just tell you that, you know, industry broke down and the world ended. And then here are these people just like these road, quote unquote, warriors just going along the highways. Like one movie, like the They're looking for water. The other movie, they just need gasoline to get to the other side. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. So, that's Waterworld.
Oh, dude. I love that movie. I stand by that movie.
It's so bad.
I stand by the movie. It's so good. It's so
bad.
Have
you seen the show at SeaWorld?
No, I haven't.
It's so good.
There's a Waterworld show.
Yes. I saw it years ago. Oh, the Waterworld show at SeaWorld is excellent.
It's still there, though?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
But well, I mean, hopefully.
Hey, guys, it's from this movie that Kevin Costner was in back
in
the night.
So good.
That it was like one of the biggest bombs in cinematic history, but I still stand by it. I don't give a fuck.
So it was a bomb, right? But it made a lot of money.
Right.
It just cost so much money that it was impossible to make so much money back.
Dry land is not a myth. I've seen it. Oh, man, Kevin Costner.
He has gills and
he
shit.
He had gills. Like, oh, he was a mutant. Come on, man. Come on. I like movies like that don't take themselves that seriously, but also tell a cool and kind of unique story. And so that was my introduction to a lot of shit. So then I see something like The Road, like years later, and I'm like, damn, this is like the real deal. Like
Road is, that's bleak.
And when she leaves, Charlize Theron, when she just fucking leaves, like, fuck.
And the look on her face, she's like, no. He's like begging her.
Right.
He's like, please come. He's like crying. He's like, please. Right. She's like, no.
That
I'm done.
That gutted
like,
me, man.
No. She's like, no, I'm done.
And that was it. We don't see. There's no closure.
I know, right?
Like,
did she die?
I don't know.
She died.
Maybe. She was kind of a badass in Mad Max, you know. I don't know, but yeah. So, end of the world movies. You? Is there one for you that sticks out in your mind that's like a gem, you know?
The Road. That's a good one. No. Shoot. I wish oh my gosh. There is one, but I can't think of it.
And by the way, when I say post-apocalyptic, I'm including all the Terminator movies as well. So
post-apocalyptic.
You know.
Post-apocalyptic.
You know.
Ah, Jesus.
Tank Girl. Oh God.
It's gonna hit me. I'm gonna be driving home tonight and I'm gonna be like,
we can move on. I mean, I said we were gonna. You talked about Ichiman the Killer a little earlier. We can jump into the more manga because you had said we were talking about this. Like, hey, what are we gonna talk about? You know, you're not a big comic book guy like I am, but you watched a lot of Asian films based on manga or Asian comics. I didn't know Old Boy, for example, the Korean movie. I didn't know that was based on a comic.
I don't know if it's is it based on a comic?
According to Wikipedia, and I don't know. The internet said it was based on a comic, and I was like, oh. And you mentioned it earlier, so I thought you knew. I assumed you knew that.
See, you got me on that one. I didn't know it was based on a comic. I just thought it was.
It was like a trilogy, I guess. Like,
oh no. So, Old Boy is part of the Vengeance trilogy,
right?
And it's the first, I think.
Okay.
The first in the Vengeance trilogy. I have not seen the other two.
I haven't either. The only one I've seen is Old Boy, and I saw it years ago. And it is fucking weird. I never saw the remake.
So, in my opinion, it's not even that weird.
Really?
Really? Yeah. I don't.
Okay. So maybe I was drunk when I saw it, but I I remember he wakes up in the hotel room. The main character, he's kind of a drunk. He wakes up in a hotel. He's been kidnapped, and all he's being fed like through the door, through a slot in the wall or something. And there's just a TV. But then I also remember, like, when he gets out, he finds what I remembered being his sister.
So this is the premise.
Give it to me. Save the listeners.
So I've watched this movie so many freaking times.
Yeah, later on.
Odesu
okay.
is drunk in a police is in the police department.
Okay.
He's belligerently drunk.
Right.
His friend comes and picks him up.
Okay.
His friend's on the telephone. And then he turns around. He's like, Odesu, your wife's on the phone.
Mm.
Odesu's gone.
Mm.
He's kidnapped.
Okay.
Odesu, the main character. Odesu is the main character. It's a South Korean film. Odesu has been kidnapped.
Yes.
And he's been imprisoned. And he is imprisoned for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he's released.
Right. In a box.
Yeah,
right.
he's putting like a trunk.
Yeah.
And he's released on top of a building.
Okay.
And
but then he fights the guy. Like he fights a dude, right?
Oh my God. Dude, like, I wish
vague
I
memories.
Like, I wish people right now I could just be like just watch it and I'll like describe it and like sync my voice up to like up to the
Yeah,
the
I don't
film.
Mean to do that. I don't mean to do the step by step. I was just, you know.
No, it's fine. So like No, I'll do it because I love this movie. So this guy, he's released onto this rooftop, and this guy's about to commit suicide. And he stops the guy from committing suicide, and he tells him his story. He says, "I was kidnapped for 15 years.
Right.
And that's my story." And the guy who he stopped from committing suicide is like, "Oh, well, now it's my turn. Now it's my turn to tell you a story." And the fucking guy just gets up and walks away. And the next scene is him walking, and the guy just jumps.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't remember that. I thought they fought for some reason.
No, they didn't fight, but it's a great scene. You should watch it. I did not do it justice at all. I probably, yeah.
So. Well, it's hard to, I mean, I know what you mean. I mean, I remember it being very cinematic. Okay. Is there an incest scene? Did that happen?
So, yes.
Okay, so that did happen.
So, yes, that's the twist. That's the twist.
Oh, I just,
that's
the twist. Spoilers.
Okay. Disclaimer, if you want to see anything about this movie, if you're interested in it, if you are remotely interested in it, do not listen anymore.
By the way, kids, it came out in 2001, so. That's the reason why I'm being a little liberal with some of the,
So what happens is, his captor messages the guy and he says, "You have 5 days to figure out why you were kidnapped or I'll kill you." No, or I'll kill your family.
Wow.
So his wife's already dead. I think she killed herself or something like that. But he's like, "I'll kill your daughter. She's still alive."
Wow.
Because he had a daughter. So he's like, "I'll kill your daughter." So he's trying to find it. He teams up with his old friend and he meets this waitress. And it's like a mystery at this point.
Right.
So he's just trying to find out why he did it.
It's very film noir. It's a slow burn.
You remember the action film?
Yeah.
Like that one tracking sequence.
Yeah.
Where he's fighting all the guys with the hammer.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. But so what happens is this guy runs into him and he says he gets this cryptic message. It says, "Odesu talks too much." Like, that's why he got kidnapped. Odesu talks too much. So what happens is Odesu, I can't remember what his name is, the evil guy, back when they were schoolmates together, the evil guy was in a romantic situation with his sister, the evil guy's sister.
Right.
And Odesu saw them. And Odesu told people. And because of that, the sister killed herself. So the guy is taking revenge.
Wow.
So what happens...
This part I vaguely remember.
So the girl, the waitress and Odesu have sex, right? And then Odesu confronts the bad guy at his like apartment or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Open that box." And the bad guy's like, "Open that box and everything will make sense."
Right.
Or something like that.
And it's not Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
And it's...
No.
What's in the box? So he opens up the box and it's a bunch of pictures and it's Odesu and his daughter.
Wow.
Odesu and Odesu's daughter. He starts leafing through the pictures, Odesu's daughter, and the pictures turn into the waitress. So he had sex with his daughter. And Odesu is like, "Oh my God, I'll do anything. Please forgive me. Please. I'll do anything." And he cuts off his own tongue with a pair of scissors.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
So the evil guy is like laughing at him and, you know, like, you know, whatever. So he walks away. He's like, one thing he says is, "My sister and I loved each other. Can you and your daughter do the same?"
See, now that is kind of the tonal shift of the movie where it kind of goes on this like weird introspective thing where it goes.
Yeah, you're right, because the ending is this weird like trance thing, and like it's very weird.
And so like I remember there being multiple shifts, and even the flashback where like he's in school with the girl, like I'm like, or like it looked like they were in school together.
Right.
I'm like, even that seemed very like, wait, are we watching a Korean soap opera now, or like did we just step out of the movie? You know what I'm saying? So like there was multiple shifts in the tone of the film. Again, it was years ago when I saw it, probably like close to 10 years. And like some of that I kind of always dismiss with I'll just say it. I mean, some of that I'd always dismiss with Korean filmmaking, right. Because Korean filmmaking, right. is, you know, there is, it's just a completely different beast. It's the reason why we base so much of our horror stuff off of their stuff, because they have a more, like you said, with the guy cutting out his tongue. I mean, they just, they're not as squeamish when it comes to some of the in your face reveals.
I watched the interview.
Yeah.
I have not seen any Asian horror since.
Yeah.
That's a brutal movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put them on the list. I've never been a horror guy, but like horror movies over here now.
You haven't seen The Interview?
No.
Oh my God.
I'll put it on the list.
Watch it. It's so good. It's actually a really good movie.
I watched The Host.
Yeah. The it's either called The Interview or Interview.
Okay.
And it's actually really good.
Did they try to make it over here?
Hopefully not.
No. Because now, doesn't it seem to you that the horror over here is more just like jump out scare kind of stuff?
Yeah. It's jump scares.
Yeah.
They remade Old Boy.
Yeah, and the Josh Brolin one, yeah.
Awful. You said it was so bad. So bad.
I like Josh Brolin, though.
I mean, yeah, he's a good actor.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the twist was, like, all screwed up and everything. Yeah. It was, like, along the same lines, but it was, like, just this weird, like, incest kind of thing, but it was, like, a dad fucking his kids and everything. Mm. It was gross.
Yeah.
It was, like, it's gross that, like, the brother is, like, in love with his sister, but it's almost like this, like, it was almost, like, sweet in a way. You know, right. Like
the way it was done.
It was innocent.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like this weird, like they're like middle schoolers.
We're not endorsing incest on this show. Okay, yeah, kids. Thank you, all right. Thank you, come on. Yeah, everybody, like, right. Before you come after us with the pitchforks and torches, all right. But the way it was shot and the way the story it was told
and the way it was portrayed was this very innocent, like almost like
it's kinda like thing. It's kinda like in the, I don't know if you watched the Bates Motel show on AMC.
I haven't seen that.
It's actually really good, especially the kid who played the young Norman Bates. Amazing, like phenomenal. But
I feel like I need to get back some of my credibility. If you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about, because right now it sounds like, ooh.
No. But Vera Farmiga plays like Norman Bates' mother in that show, and then there's a whole backstory on her because it's kind of the prequel, right, of Psycho. Right, and they, right. And she has a relationship with her brother in the show that's very similar, because they grew up together and they were abused by their father and they were so close and all they had was each other, and they had a son together. They ended up having sex and having a son together. Okay. So like, okay. You watch the show and it's the way it's done. Somebody could argue, oh, it's a shock value. They just wanted to do this to kind of be provocateurs. You
kind of get it. You kind of get it. You understand it.
But you understand where they were in the situation, how it happened. It's still kind of gross. But you're like, okay, it's not, like, you understand where they have a tortured past, you understand where they came from, so you understand the way the story was told, that it wasn't told just for the sake of telling, ooh, these guys have incest, and we're just telling this to be shocking and crazy. Like, no, this is two people that...
A brother and a sister.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Two hot bodies.
Right, exactly.
Longing for each other.
Exactly, you know what I'm saying? It's not that. And I don't think that the filmmakers for Oldboy was going for the shock value on that. No. But I would argue that there are probably other films in that Korean market that do push that shock value thing, that do push the fucking,
like, the American version of Old Boy. God, that movie is so bad.
Oh, well, speaking of fucking shock value and fucking gratuitous anything, I believe that Battle Royale, I don't think it was Korean. I think it was Japanese.
I think it was Japanese too, yeah.
That came out like 2001. And when I saw that movie...
Oh my God, so good.
I mean, about a fucking group of high school kids that have to basically slaughter each other in the wild or their fucking heads are going to explode. They got the collars on.
Right.
That takes me right back to The Running Man with Schwarzenegger, where they're fucking wearing the collars. I'm like, talk about sensationalist fucking post-apocalyptic movies. That shit, like,
and they're middle schoolers
and they're given like a choices of weapons and like limit, like one guy had a frying pan for Christ's
sake. Right. Oh, they get a bag and they don't know what's in it.
Exactly. Because in the future, kids, the high schools are so overrun and so corrupt and just the kids are just out of fucking control and we can't, you know, we're not gonna take it. You know, they're fucking done. There's no Twisted Sister to help them. And the cops and the military step in and enforce this. The guy who plays that, what's his name? He played the main guy, like the main teacher, and he knew a lot of the students, and he was the one that enforced, and they didn't believe him right away, and that's why the kid that tried to take off the collar, like, his head exploded right there in the classroom. But they'd, like, the guards are there, the machine guns and everything.
Right.
And he was like the main, that actor, I can't remember his name, but he's a phenomenal actor. He's been in a lot of other movies. his delivery to the kids, basically telling them, "You're on your own now."
That was my favorite scene in the whole movie.
I love that. I love that scene.
They were so
especially the punks that didn't believe him right away.
Right.
Oh man.
The buildup of that,
the tension,
and they were so, and they went from like 0 to 100.
Yeah.
Of their fear.
Yeah.
They were so scared.
Yeah.
And then going from that fear after seeing their classmate basically his head blow up, and then basically they're just like, oh shit, this is what we're going to do.
And see, I love movies like that where the premise is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
But the setup and immersing us in it, just throwing us into it. It's in like the first 5 minutes, like we're there. And I love any movie that does it. Like, look, we know the premise is absurd, but we're going to jump, we're going to throw you into the scene, and the tension of the scene is going to be so intense that you're just in it. You suspend all your disbelief about this possibly happening, and you realize this is scary. This
ain't
is terrifying.
No Hunger Games.
Right. It ain't no Hunger Games. When those books came out, I didn't read them. But when the movies came out,
I hated
all over it. And my wife, you know, my girlfriend at the time, she was my girlfriend at the time. We were still new, so I had to like balance that thread, you know, that fine line between like, I don't want to offend this girl because I really like her, but I really hate these Hunger Games.
I read the first book and it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
It started off really good.
I've seen the movies.
It started off really good. And so
I'm just like, come on, Battle Royale, man. And I'm 90% positive Battle Royale came first. So
it did. I almost want to say it was like 99.
Yeah. Might have been. Like, have you seen Robo Geisha?
Robo Geisha?
Yeah. About a robot geisha girl.
Who
there's slicing and dicing. Okay, so my sister got this movie for me years ago, and I have yet to open it, and I have yet to watch it. So I feel like the next time you come on the show, we should watch it and review it, because I feel like it's of the Comic-Con world, and you like foreign films, and you like,
right.
You know, so I feel like it'll appease both of our palates.
Robo Geisha. It sounds goofy enough just to be interesting.
Just YouTube the trailer after you leave
Robo
tonight,
Geisha.
And then we'll. We should do that.
I don't like foreign movie trailers.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't like trailers.
This one, maybe I'm wrong, but I remember this one being intriguing.
They're a little over the top.
Okay.
The trailers are a little over the top.
Well, maybe just to get an idea of it, maybe you could just watch a snippet or something.
I'll do that.
A preview of it.
I'll do that. I'll definitely do that.
And we could like meet up and watch the movie, because I have it. I own it on DVD.
Right, 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 right.
And we could like literally just sit down, watch it, and review it. And I think that would be fun. I've yet to open it. I don't know why. I've just kind of saved it for some
Geisha.
Reason. And I think you'd be the perfect guest to do that with.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I feel like that sounds like almost like a tech porn. Kind
I remember there being like,
which I can I
very
can get
phallic looking masks, and then there's like slicing and dicing with like arms that turn into knives, and you know, just insanity.
Dude, watch Ishii the Killer first.
Okay.
Watch that.
That'll be my homework. I'll do that.
Watch Ishii the Killer. It's actually a really good movie.
I've seen it before. Like, I remember,
oh,
like,
you have?
I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the movie like on shelves at the Blockbuster, like, and I want to say it was on Netflix not too long ago. Like, it's one of those movies where I passed by it, like, oh, I should watch it. But I really have to like be in a certain mood. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's a little long too. It's like 2.5 hours or something.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I tried to watch, I watched The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, that Korean movie, and that's just insanity, hilarity ensues. It's like a Western, but it's like, there's explosions, people running after each other. I've watched Hard Boiled by John Woo, and it's like,
oh, I've been meaning to watch that.
That's my shit, man.
That's on a lot of lists of best action movies ever.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
I've been meaning to watch that.
And Jackie Chan's Super Cop, you know?
Yeah.
I think Tarantino said that there's a sequence in Supercop he said is the best action scene of all time. And it was great because he was at a round table with like David O. Russell and Danny Boyle. And these are like legitimate, you know, Academy Award winning filmmakers. And he said that, and they're all like, they all kind of smirk, but he was dead serious. Like, no, I'm fucking serious.
Well, Quentin Tarantino, he'll watch bad movies.
Right.
And he'll take things from those movies.
Right.
He'll take things from the worst movies ever.
Right.
And he'll kind of bring that into his cinema.
He'll take some of the actors, and I don't want to say they're the worst actors, but he'll take some of the perceived worst actors, throw them into his films. He'll take a guy like Michael Madsen, who's waiting for that phone to ring, you know what I'm saying? Doing the straight to DVD bin.
Right.
And he'll put him in his movies. And I love that about him, you know? Because, I mean, I've always loved Michael Madsen. I'm not going to lie. I mean, Reservoir Dogs, come on. You know,
I'm trying to think of the song.
You gonna bark all day, little doggy?
What song does he sing?
Are you gonna bite?
Ah, I can't remember the song when he's cutting the guy's ear off.
Oh, it's Stuck in the Middle with You. Yeah,
that's it.
Man, the soundtracks, man. I would love to be the guy that just makes the soundtracks for the films or just picks the songs for the films.
I'd be the worst guy.
Really?
Because I'd just pick songs that I like.
I don't know. I feel like I would be pretty good at that. I feel like I like a diverse amount of music that I would be like, okay, this would go well here. And sometimes I'll just be driving, you know, and I see like cinematic scenes with my, not granted, now if I tried filming it, it would be horrible. But like right. In my own mind's eye, I'm like, this would be great right now with this music going on here, you know, and that person walking along the road and this guy telling me to stop the car because I've just driven into the guardrail because I've been daydreaming, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
I'd pick the same song for every scene.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what song it'd be though. That joke kind of fell
stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle with you. There you go. Thanks for finishing that for me.
Did you have anything else you wanted to kind of touch on in terms of your podcast?
Where are we at time wise?
Because we're at an hour.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
seriously?
we've been rambling. Wow. We've been rocking and rolling.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I didn't really have any more questions for you about Old Boy. But it is Korean, kids. So if you want to see a Korean film that you haven't seen before, and you like Korean films. Or you don't watch Korean films and you just want to check out a new film that's something off the beaten path, you should check out Old Boy. And apparently Itchy the Killer. Itchy the Killer?
Itchy the Killer, yeah.
Itchy the Killer. I think I said Itchy Ma the first time. That might have been a faux pas.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Toyota, go Gadget
even,
Arms.
Even if you're not, even if you you listen to Nick's podcast and you're solely into the comic book movie stuff.
Right.
If you like music, you like listening to local bands, you like going to local shows. I have a lot of local bands on my podcast. Contending was a metalcore band that I had on. They opened up for Saliva.
Oh, okay.
And we actually did the podcast at the show.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
after they opened for them. I just did one with this band called Awkward Moment. They're actually based in like around Colonial Beach area.
Okay.
People who are doing stuff in the right. area. So it's always interesting. I just think it's neat to, you know, just be talking to people who are making moves. Mostly it's been bands.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to go that route.
Go focus more on music.
More on music.
Okay.
There's a ton of bands out there that I think I could really just help out. Cause a lot of these bands are, you know, when you come up to them and you're like, hey, you want to do a podcast?
Right.
They've never been interviewed before.
Right.
And just to have that, like that chip.
Just to have that in their resume.
In their resume, you had a podcast, you had an interview, is always
well, it's
good
exposure.
Thing.
You know?
Yeah, thank you.
And it's free. Most podcast kids are free. You know what I'm saying? So
right. So I think in that aspect in general, a really good thing for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I had been interviewed in my band for a podcast when I was playing a lot. Because I played in bands since off and on since I was like 15. So it just never occurred to me, like the whole podcast thing, when it started really breaking out around 2007, it never occurred to me to like try to like do something like that.
Right.
I only started listening to podcasts because I was driving all the way up to fucking Satan's asshole every day.
And, you know that's what I'm saying? What I do too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And you're sitting in traffic and there's only so much music you can listen to when you're sitting there in a car like, I'm going to drive myself off this fucking Korean cliff. And
the cool thing is that what I've noticed is that with each different band that I've done, every interview is different.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I've asked similar questions for each band, but every interview is different. Like, and all the bands have just been so cool. Like everybody's been really like, just like funny.
That's good.
Humorous.
Nobody's been too pompous. They've just been like, you know, I'm a local band. You know, there's no.
No, everybody, like the last one I did, like they were goofing off.
Yeah.
And talking about how they went to Juilliard and Berkeley before high school.
These guys are like legit musicians.
Before high school, though.
Wow.
Like, I mean,
holy shit!
They were joking.
Oh,
they got me too. Like, because I was asking about their musical background.
I was thinking they were like 9-year-olds going to college, like going right.
No. So I was super. I was super tired when I did the podcast.
It's been a long day for me too, man.
I know. I had been up for like 24 hours when I did that podcast, and I asked them the question, and they were like, "Well, you know, well, before I went to high school, I went to Juilliard and Berkeley," and I was like, wow.
Holy shit,
and
man.
I was like, oh, wait, is that sarcasm? And they're like, yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, great. So, no, but everybody's been really cool. They have a lot of cool gigging stories.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite questions to ask.
Yeah.
is their touring stories, their gigging stories. Yeah. They always have, I always like to ask them what bad stories they have.
Oh yeah. Because
those are the funniest.
There's some funny stories, especially yeah. if you've ever been in a band that's played around, all the places I played were like dive bars, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And some of those stories, man, some of the people that you meet, people in the crowd, people that are, because the thing about dive bars is that the people aren't really there to see bands. They're kind of there to just get fucked up, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
a
right,
band
right.
happens to be playing in the background, you know what I'm saying? So like, that can always make for a very interesting night. So I can only imagine like going on a full-fledged tour and like having a repeated, you know.
Yeah, the Contending.
That's pretty cool.
Contending had a night where they were like, they left their cards, they left their credit cards at the bar. They had to go back. They got stuck at a railroad crossing for like 2 hours.
Holy shit.
And they got back to the hotel. They got back to their rooms or whatever at like 2 a.m. They had to be up by 4.
Wow.
So just cool stuff like that.
Yeah. Really fun. Living the hard life.
Right.
Hard living. So for the kids listening, where can they find your podcast?
You can find me on Podbean,
mm-hmm.
Super Dave's VA podcast.
Super Dave's VA podcast.
Or more specifically, Super Dave VA at podbean.com.
Okay.
Or just look up, or just go to podbean.com and look up Super Dave's VA podcast. I'm also on iTunes, but I'm going to take that down and re-upload it because I kind of screwed some stuff up.
Okay.
But once I get a couple more episodes up or more recent in the future, I'm going to be uploading on Stitcher.
Okay.
A couple other places.
Awesome.
I'm going to try to get this couple more episodes up. And
well, it's a good show. You know, I wish you all the best.
Thanks,
and you, and you, I hope you keep doing it, and I hope you keep, you know, and I hope you come back on this show.
I do too.
And, I think, if anybody heard anything on this show that caused any offense, you know what I'm saying? That made you wonder, hey, do I need to go off into the woods sometime and just become a farmer and end it all? You know what I'm saying? Just remember, at the end of the day, it's just fiction, except of course the stuff that, you know, Dave and I were talking about our own lives. That's not really fiction, but we can pretend it's fiction. And remember, kids, you can find the podcast on...
My Life is Fiction.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. You can find the podcast on Podbean. Okay. Comic-Con's podcast at podbean.com. You can find us on facebook.com/Comic-Con's podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, also on the iTunes. Please rate and review us on the iTunes so we can try to be a little bit more relevant. And, you know, Dave, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right.